coming down this
Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wind, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever wondered about life after death? I think that's something we've all wondered about. Would you like to learn more about the evidence that supports life after death? Have you ever wanted to know what science and medicine believe about life after death? Can you imagine what it is like to cross the bridge between here and there? Tell me, do you know what grief can do to your life? Have you ever heard about an amazing book called We Don't Die? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and to learn about life after death? If you can answer yes, or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire, and she will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk4Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 50 million listeners, and Blog Talk Radio with our show having over 1.8 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. A fear of dying and a massive dose of skepticism led her on a 15-year journey of discovery for proof of life after death. Through the disciplines of science and medicine, she uncovered the clear, undeniable truth that we don't die. However, she kept this information to herself, fearful of what others might think. The death of her father caused her to investigate the painful world of grief. Her findings have lessened her pain, helped save relationships, and prevented suicides. Courageously, she now shares her journey and awe-inspiring stories with audience for the first time. She travels the United States and Canada as a chef for many world-class race car teams, including Andretti, Rahal, and actor Patrick Dempsey. She owns Kent Coffee and Chocolate Company in Connecticut. A speaker, author, and entrepreneur, she is committed to making a profound difference in the lives of others. It's my pleasure to welcome the author of We Don't Die, Sandra Champlain. Hi, Sandra. How are you doing today?
Hi, January. I'm great, and I'm so grateful to be with you right now. Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show. I've been looking forward to your visit for a long time. I've been having quite a few guests who have explored the paranormal world, and it's been fascinating. Now tell us a little bit about your success story. Where did it begin, and who were your early mentors?
Well, sure. And by reading a little bit about me in the beginning, yeah, it sounds like I'm a chef, which I am, and I travel the world cooking for race teams, and I own a small coffee and chocolate store that someone manages for me, so I can do this. But my past really was in the cooking industry, and it's so interesting because now I think I'm feeding people on another level. And as part of success, I think it's normal that sometimes our passions change, and there's really nothing wrong with that. And who my first examples of success and my mentors, I would have to say, are my parents. Very good upbringing, Catholic by nature, so raised with faith. But my dad was a person who would always give and make a difference for other people. He had had cancer 30 years previously, before he died, and he was one of these success stories of living, and he had worked with Dr. Bernie Siegel, and he really taught me the never give up and the importance of making a difference. And then my mom, on the other hand, really got me started in opening my own business. She was just like, you know, Sandra, if you fail, at least you've tried, and you can do something else, but you'll never know unless you try. And she was always, you know, she was a young bride, four babies, and for her, she had started a travel agency, and just for her, like, I never thought, like, I could do something on my own. So a lot of my success, I think, stems from my parents and just knowing that it's okay to go for it.
Yeah, for your dad to deal with cancer for 30 years, that's an amazing thing. And, you know, Bernie Siegel, he is a guest on the show usually once a month or every other month, and he is just a fabulous man. I adore him, and my listeners love him. Now, okay, so your mentors were your mom and dad. So did you go to college in Connecticut, or tell us a little bit about your upbringing?
I went to college in New York. I went to the Culinary Institute of America, and I graduated top of my class as a chef. And from there, I went into hotel and restaurant management, and I was living the life, as I still am, working with the race car teams, and until a fear of dying hit me. And the slow story is, I mean, I tell it quickly, but my 15-year investigation that rested my fears, coupled with what I found out about grief that saved lives, I thought, geez, I really need to get this out. And I never had myself as an author, January. I thought, other people do that. I certainly am not smart enough. And for the right people to show up in my path, it is, you know, I don't want to call it divine intervention, but maybe, I mean, to have a string of events that happened. Even finding Dr. Bernie Siegel, when the day came that I needed to have someone write a foreword to my book, I thought, geez, I don't know anybody famous. I mean, I know race car drivers, but that doesn't work. And the gentleman who was helping me, whose wife designed my book cover, he says, I just keep thinking Bernie Siegel. And literally 30 years previously, my dad had had cancer and went into remission, like spontaneous remission. He was given 3 months to live, and he survived. And he just accredited Dr. Bernie with his survival. And dad had ridden a bicycle across the United States 5 times, raising money for Bernie's ECAP, as he called it. And so I got every bit of courage to email Bernie thinking, he's not going to know who I am. Well, he remembered my dad, and he said, of course I'll do it. And the foreword in my book, it just give you chills. And for your listeners, I have a website, wedontdie.com, and you can actually read the first chapters of my book and the foreword by Bernie Siegel, no cost to yourself. Just you can go there and just read it. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So I'm really honored.
I'm sure it is wonderful. And what an honor. I mean, as far as being an author, no one ever thinks they're going to be an author until they write their first book.
Right.
And to have Bernie be involved is such an honor. You're very fortunate to be able to have him in your life, as I feel the same. Now let's talk about, you call yourself a skeptic. Were you always a skeptic, or how did this come about?
Yeah, I think always a skeptic. As much as I love my parents, they really raised it. You know, if you can't see it, it's not real. And I'm 48 years old now, and when I was a kid, there was very little conversations about mediums and psychics and things, and if they were, you know, whether there were any conversations, they were all scams and con artists, and none of that stuff was true, just the way it was, not true. Mm-hmm. So I grew up, my dad, like I said, almost a mind of an engineer. He was an airline pilot, but he really had to investigate things. And so, yes, we believed in faith, life after death, heaven, because that's what religion taught us. But other than that, all this other stuff was kind of crazy nonsense, and never get involved with it, don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And even going through a bookstore, if I would walk through the spiritual section, I was so opinionated, like, these people need to get a life. This stuff isn't real, you know? So I'm the perfect one, because my book is titled We Don't Die, but the subtitle is A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death, because I went out to prove a lot of it was nonsense, only to prove the opposite. And even though I had the fear of dying, you know, it was really coming to grips with this in my own mind. Can I be open? And then,
now,
you know,
what did your father's death, is that what triggered this research, or how did it come about? What triggered it?
The research came first. The research came 15 years before my dad died.
Okay.
And it was very private. I never even told my father until I did, because I thought dad would think I was a lunatic. I really did, because we didn't talk about that stuff.
Wow.
But it was just waking up one day with kind of a crummy life, a lot of the same bad stuff happening over and over, failure, business not doing so well, feeling unhealthy, having another romantic breakup with a man, just, you know, who am I? What is my life for? We look up at the stars, and I thought, you know, what is it all about? And for whatever reason, January, it just showed up on my shoulders as tremendous fear. I couldn't handle the not knowing what happens after we die. And more important, what happens to me? Does Sandra, with this personality, do I get to go on? You know, so that had me just start searching, like, is there, you know, and it's very secret, because I would have never, ever, ever, ever told anybody any of this had I not found out what I did about grief, because I truly thought people would think I'm insane. Who wants to listen? Nobody will want to hear my stories. And you know what's happened is everybody wants to hear my stories. And even my dad, before he died, it was in my conscience that, like, I had to tell him this. This is such a big part of me. And dad and I got very close. He had cancer, and I spent many days with him in the hospital. 5 months before he died, I spent by his side. And I finally said, you know, Pop, I've got something I want to tell you. Okay. And he said, sweetie pie, you can tell me anything. And I told him just my whole adventure and all the things I discovered. And that's when I realized to not have a fear of dying, it really helped someone dying. And he looked up at me with his eyes and just said, with tears in his eyes, January, and said, you promised me, you write a book.
Okay.
This would help many people.
Well, you know, I totally relate to you were talking about your dad, because I've been married to an airline pilot, captain. We've been married 44 years now, and he, of course, had a lot of skeptical, and pilots tend to be more scientific. And,
right.
And
exactly.
It's very hard to take them along on this journey, and what a marvelous gift you were able to give your dad, share your information with him before he died. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from my sponsors. And when we're going to come back, we're going to talk about some of the evidence that Sandra has uncovered and that she will be sharing with us now and in her book. We'll be right back with Sandra Champlain.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
Welcome back, and I want to extend congratulations today to Tom and Gracia and Jared Kaminsky. They were running in the Boston Marathon today successfully. They competed last year, and they were not able to finish. And this year, it went off without any problems, and we're very proud of them. Both of them will be on the show next week. Next Monday, and they'll be sharing their experience at the Boston Marathon. We're back right now with Sandra Champlain, and she's the author of We Don't Die. Now, what evidence did you discover, and how long did it take you to get this book written?
Well, the evidence part takes a long time to explain, so I'll answer the second question first.
Okay.
It took me 2 months to write the book. Once
Wow.
I had a publisher that looked me in the eye when I had the courage to tell him what I wanted to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was scared that this man would think I was a lunatic. And he said, do you think you can write that? And with my wide eyes, I said, I think so, you know, and I gave him a sample of my writing and a few sample chapters. And he
uh-huh.
said, how fast? He says,
wow.
people are literally dying for your words. There's so much pain in the world. And he said, you could bring so many people hope. Anyway, so it took
mm-hmm.
me 2 months, and it was on the fast forward and all that. So,
well, that's amazing, because most people, it took me 2 years to write a book, so
yes.
I'm very impressed with this.
Well, now, here's the thing. I had this 15-year journey of gathering this evidence
yeah.
Okay. slowly, and so what I did is I kept a file on my computer of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So for the beginning part of the book, because the book starts off with my journey, why I believe in life after death. There is one chapter on grief, because we're all going to experience loss. And then the rest is how to have a successful life while you're here being human, because if we
mm-hmm.
don't die, it answers the question, well, who are we and what is our life for? So
okay.
it's been nicknamed a handbook for being human. And it's a motivational book as well. So some of my evidence, the first thing I did was I started researching the major world religions. Maybe, you know, Catholic faith talks about faith, but maybe somebody else really had the answer. And
mm-hmm.
I couldn't find that. I found more stories of faith and a lot of common denominators that most religions do believe in a hereafter. So that's all good news.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to see Doreen Virtue, the medium, speak.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a stage show, and she's now got 30-something books out and speaks worldwide.
Okay.
And one of the things that because now I went for entertainment because I don't believe in that sort of thing, right?
Uh-huh.
But what she was doing is she had people in the audience stand up who were asking questions, and she was very specific that their loved one was standing with them, here's the message, and super specific, like your grandmother in England, she only used to make you the tomato soup and the grilled cheese, and she taught you how to knit, and she's here with you, and her name is Beth, and like specific.
Mm-hmm.
And so that got me thinking after the that stage show, maybe
mm-hmm.
there is something to this. So the skeptic in me wanted to blow it off that it
mm-hmm.
they had to be plants in the audience.
Yeah.
The Sandra, though, that was still afraid of dying was on, you know, www.doreenvirtue.com. Let me find
mm-hmm.
out who this lady is and all about. Well, she offered a course in mediumship January.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That was, you come to this 3-day seminar,
uh-huh.
you'll be someone who can effectively tell the deceased people around others. Now, that's
okay.
a bold statement.
Yeah.
And skeptic me thought, don't waste your money. The fearful Sandra actually overrode that and said, I'm going. But I didn't
uh-huh.
tell anyone.
Okay,
so,
I can understand that.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I thought people were lunatics that did these kind of things, and here I
yeah.
turned into one of them. So let me just tell you what happened there, because this is what opened the door wide open. It was the very first thing that told me life after death is real.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Doreen, after she greeted us, she wanted to give us just some basics, how medium readings are done. So she says, here, let me just show you. We're not really going to do it. We're going to do mock medium readings. Everybody take a partner.
Uh-huh.
She says, I want you to sit knee to knee, hold hands, imagine this invisible energy connecting your hearts, imagine you're in a safe space. And she said, close your eyes. And basically when we do medium readings, you ask the deceased loved ones to come through. Would they like to have conversations like they're living, because they're still the same personality? And she says, but we're just going to do a mock reading right now. So all I want you to do is invent a person standing behind your partner and pretend you're doing a medium reading and just give the details, who you see, maybe if there's a message, any specifics. And so because we weren't really doing that, January, I was like, okay, I can be creative and make somebody up. So with my eyes closed, I tell my partner, I see behind her a man. It's her grandfather. It's on her mother's side. All of a sudden, in my mind, I'm seeing a fishing boat. So I say, well, he's a fisherman. And I'm hearing Denmark come into my head. Well, he lives in Denmark. His name was Jan, right? Got that out of nowhere. He had blonde hair, blue eyes, windy, like windburned, sunburned skin, big gap between his front teeth. He was a smoker, died of lung cancer, and he never told your mom that he loved her while he was on the planet. And so he apologizes and wants you to tell your mom that he loves her. So I open my eyes like, okay, it's your turn.
Okay.
And there's tears running down her cheeks. Her grandfather's name was Jan. He was a fisherman in Denmark. He died of lung cancer. He never told his daughter he loved her. I mean, it was all right there.
Wow.
And I'm getting goosebumps right now even telling you, because it's like, how, if media is real, it happens to other people, not Sandra Champlain, because I don't believe in that. Well, I had 3 days of playing medium, only right 30 to 40% of the time, but enough to know that it is real. People did it right back to me and even gave me some details about relatives that I didn't even know existed. And when I came home and would ask my family, sure enough, those people existed. So that was mind-blowing.
Yeah, and you did this for 3 days, and you had 30 to 40% accuracy, and this is something you had never done before, and the way you did it was that you
pretended.
Close your eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And pretend, because there's a voice we all have in our head, and you talk about it too, and it's this critical voice that can be negative. And the thing is we believe that voice is the truth. So, I mean, I think that's the voice of skepticism, or when we wake up in the morning, we see too many gray hairs or too much pounds on our hips or whatever, and it can be negative. But when we can put that voice aside, and when we can use our imagination, you know, I think we can all do this. And so many people will go to bed at night or have a dream and see their grandparent or their deceased spouse, and they think, oh, it's just a dream. No, I think that's when your mind is quiet, and that's when we can do this connection.
And people, certain people can get through. Certain people have a message, and they're just waiting to get their message to you, aren't they?
I think they are, and most of them are messages of love. You know, some people get a little freaked out that, are we never alone? You know, somebody wrote a book called Dead People Watch Me in the Shower. That's brilliant. And I read it. It's a great book. And the truth is, no. The I think that when we pass away, or whatever you want to call it, go into the hereafter or heaven, that there's actually education to be had and lessons to be learned there as well. But in moments of stress or pain or sadness, they're only a thought away. So I do think, and when we've have lost a loved one, they can be right there. Or if there is a message, you know, they can try to get through.
Sure. Now, after this three-day mind-blowing experience that you went through with Doreen Virtue, is that her real name, do you think?
That is her real name, indeed.
That's a real name. That's an interesting,
real name.
Perfect name for a psychic.
Psychologist before that. Here's the thing. She went out to prove that this isn't true. This is possible. She's hearing messages in her head. She actually saw a carjacking, like, in her future, and she blew it off like, that's got to be my imagination. Happened exactly the way she had seen it in her mind. So that's when she started, like, there is something here. There's something else possible with our minds than just what meets the eye.
Now, after this amazing experience, what happened to you next? How did you continue doing this, or how did it become a part of your life?
I didn't continue doing it because I was too, here's where the fear came in. If if anybody knew that I was doing this, they'd ask, well, who do you see around me? And if I got it wrong, they'd laugh at me, and then I would be just another fraud, like I used to call people. So knowing how much that one weekend calmed my fears, I said, there's got to be more. There has to be something else. And so then I started searching on all different kinds of places. And one of the places is I had gone to a bookstore, and I saw this bright orange book called The Idiot's Guide to Communicating with Spirits. and I don't make any of this up. I mean, it's too good. It is the truth. It's written by Rita Berkowitz, who is a minister in the spiritualist faith. And she's got the website, thespiritartist.com, and she not only is a medium, but she is an artist. And so she has throughout her website pictures, you know, portraits that she's drawn of deceased loved ones that she sees around her her clients, and then also the photographs that of who those people were as they lived. And they're the same people. I mean, it is mind-blowing. And she has even, after my dad died, I saw her, and she drew a picture of my dad, how he looked in the Air Force. He was about 28 years old. And apparently, when we cross over, we can be our best age with no ailments and things like that. But next on the list, there was setting the world of near-death experiences. And for the skeptic, it's easy to say, well, all that light just happens when our brain is shutting down. It's very normal. You know, that's what the skeptic says. But there's hundreds of thousands of documented cases of near-death experiences. And one doctor named Ken Ring took these near-death experiences one step further and just researched the near-death experiences of blind people. Those moments when people flatlined on the operating table and they rose to the light and all that, these people had vision for the very first time. And accurately saw things that were happening. One woman saw her husband having a conversation with the doctor and what the doctor was wearing, that the husband was wearing a green shirt, that a pen fell out of the doctor's pocket, husband picked it up, and where they were standing, the whole thing. And so, you know, like, it's like, because I can talk on behalf of the skeptics, because it's so easy to blow something off. Oh, it can't be true. But when we take the time to do the work and, you know, read the 30 examples of the blind folks that can see, or some of the hundreds of thousands of the near-death experiences, that's pretty mega. You know, it's very big. There is Dr. Ian Stevenson, who has researched over 3,000 children that have had near-death experiences. And we always hear about kids, how they can see to the other side. But also finding out that some of these, the 3-4-year-old children would speak about who they were and what their lives were, and then to prove that those people really existed.
Well, and there's a movie coming out, Heaven is for Real. And I was just speaking about that with a friend today, and it's an amazing, I've read the book, it's a fabulous book, and I'm looking forward to the movie. I think, do you sense that people are more open to this topic now than when you first started researching, and how, what kind of reception are you getting?
It's really great reception, because coming from the skeptic who now has this book, and I still work with these race car teams. And do you know how incredibly afraid I was to tell these mainstream famous race car drivers that I've written a book about life after death? I really thought they'd think I was crazy. Well, just the opposite. What's happened is it, and I think this movie is going to do the same thing, it opens the door for people to be able to talk about this. And more people than not have had some weird experience with, you know, just something weird. One of my race car drivers is now an ESPN announcer. He will remain nameless. But he won tons of championships when he was racing cars. And when he saw my book under our food tent, he says, I want to tell you a story. He says, when I was younger, I got into a car accident. And he says, I actually flatlined on the operating table. And I saw I all of a sudden I was greeted by my grandparents in a place that was so much more real than where we are right now. And he said, I floated and I could see my dad, my mom, and my brother praying for me. Uh-huh. And he says, I knew, like, I felt the choice I could come back. And I did. And he says, I woke up and my body hurt and it took lots of plastic surgery. But he says, why I'm telling you this story, Sandra, is because I didn't have a fear of dying, I didn't have a fear of living. That's why I pushed my foot on the pedal harder. That's why I won championships. I wasn't looking for death, but he says, I knew the moment it does happen to me, Graham and Gramps are going to be there, and I have nothing to fear. And I thought, if I could give people that experience in a book, and they don't have to die on an operating
table.
Honest to God, this is really a book about living life. If we're not afraid of dying, I don't want people to be afraid of living. And I want people to have success, go after their dreams, live full out.
This is fantastic. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about how grief impacts our relationship and how it impacts our brain and our spirit. We'll be right back with Sandra Champlain.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1. Paperback and Kindle editions.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
I hope all of you listening, if you are not socially fit, I hope you will become socially fit this year. I'm pleased to welcome back an amazing, priceless personality today on the show, Sandra Champlain. Sandra, would you share your website information and share with my listeners how they can get your book?
I sure can. My name, again, is Sandra Champlain. My book is We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death, which is available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books worldwide. Just ask for it. Mm-hmm. And then my website is WeDon'tDie.com. No apostrophe in the don't, but WeDon'tDie.com. And again, you can download the first couple of chapters and the foreword by Bernie Siegel. And in a minute, I think we're going to talk about grief, and I have a 70-minute grief audio called How to Survive Grief that can really make a difference if you do know someone who has had any kind of loss. It'll make a difference. So WeDon'tDie.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, what is the evidence? We cannot see heaven. What do you say when people want to know how you know it exists?
Well, we don't have to see something to believe it. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think we do, but one of the examples that I bring up is the wireless internet. Now, I have an iPhone, And somehow, miraculously, it can tie into anywhere in the world, with some invisible something connecting it to some other invisible something, because, you know, nobody really knows where the internet is. Even things like radio waves, GPS signals, television signals. Mm-hmm. Science has proved that we are, and everything we see is made up of energy. Mm-hmm. If we put a teeny tiny camera inside one of the atoms inside of our molecules as humans, the camera wouldn't pick up anything. It would just be empty space. All that there is this vibration of energy on really a subatomic level. And so when we die, I say that we have, you know, this, people call it a soul, people call it our essence. It could be our energy field, whatever you choose to call it. It continues to vibrate even though the body is gone and goes into this invisible space. And I want to share, like, if you have a big puddle in the ground after a fresh rainstorm and then you have a couple of bright days, well, the sun has dried up that puddle. Now, is the water gone? It's not in that puddle form, but it's changed forms. Same thing if a log burns. The log is gone, but it's now turned to heat. Our body dies. It disappears. But our soul, our spirit, you know, goes on. Mm-hmm. And everybody, you know, I keep talking about the voice, that inner critic that never shuts up. Something I think is invaluable to all of our success is when we're able to quiet that mind, something neat happens. It's a good place to go to free yourself from pain, because when you're really in the present moment of something, even for just a couple of seconds, the pain isn't there. Right. People have had the greatest inventions, even Steve Jobs with all of his Apple stuff, and Tina Turner and Sting and Paul McCartney and Henry Ford, they would all attribute being with a quiet mind to getting their greatest thoughts, their greatest ideas. People that are psychics, people that are mediums that connect to, you know, the hereafter, which I do believe is right here amongst us, just after our body goes, they all attribute it. Their mind has to be quiet to have that happen.
Yeah. And now let's switch the topic. Let's talk about grief. And how does grief, I know how it impacts relationships. How does it impact your brain? What does it do to your brain?
Anytime we have a significant loss, so it can be going through a divorce, it can be death of a loved one, it can be your health changes, you get diagnosed with an illness or empty nest syndrome, or you lose your finances, your brain goes through a kind of shock. There's the old reality is out and there's a new reality coming in, and it sends the brain into haywire. We call it grief, and I'm going to speak of it for loss of a loved one, because I think that is one of the most intense kinds.
Yes.
Our, you know, whether you call them symptoms or however you want to phrase it, you know, what we feel happening is we're terribly sad, depressed, angry. I mean, there's so many feelings of shock and guilt, and, you know, internally our body is just all, like, I would be buckled over in tears and my belly hurt just from crying so much when Dad died. But what's happening in the brain is we have these neurotransmitters, like all the things that are necessary for the car, you know, oil and different things we need. Our bodies need these neurotransmitters. And we always hear about, like, if you laugh, it'll boost the endorphins in your them. And so we've heard of these kind of things. Well, just the opposite happens. When we have a severe loss, we actually lose these healthy brain chemicals, causing the things like anger and sadness. I mean, deep darkness. And anyone who's had a loss knows what I'm talking about.
Sure.
But also, what's important, and this is the big aha moment that I had that taught me about grief, and in effect why I wrote We Don't Die, is because grief is a part of it. We all know we're going to sometime or another have to deal with it. But our perception is off. I mean, we hear healthy brains, if two people are looking at the same car accident, we always hear, oh, the two people will have different stories of what happened. That's our perception. When we're grieving, how we store things can be so way different than they're actually occurring. And why this is important and why I got into it is within my own family, not only did my dad die, but I had really healthy, wonderful relationships with my siblings, and we started fighting, and we started miscommunicating. Mm-hmm. We were arguing about things that, like, didn't even happen in reality, but one of us would say it did, and I thought, you know, what could happen that turns us into such monsters, and not just losing my dad, but I got written off by my siblings as well, like, you know, I got labeled as the greedy sister. You know, there's always somebody, and it ended up being me. And I thought, what happens? And when I realized the grieving brain can't, is not healthy, cannot communicate correctly, isn't storing information correctly, January, going through grief is very similar, yet different, to somebody going through withdrawal from a drug or an alcohol. So if you can imagine somebody going through deep withdrawal, is this somebody you're going to trust with information that needs to go to someone else? Probably not. Are you going to have compassion for that person? Yes. Do you know that that's going to take a long time before they have to, you know, we actually have to ride out grief. We can't just say, oh, we've had 3 days off and we should be feeling better and go back to work. It's brutal on our systems.
Oh, for sure. And so, you know, we have to take a commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about grief. And I'd like to briefly talk about remote viewing and the ESP technique that you teach. We'll be right back with Sandra Champagne.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play in well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with my fascinating guest, Sandra Champlain, and the author of We Don't Die. Now, what is remote viewing, Sandra?
Remote viewing, January, is an ESP technique, extrasensory perception. And there's a really good reason why I talk about it and I teach it, because if people have an experience of being able to quiet their mind and see something that could be on a dining room table of a friend halfway around the world, or can see pictures in a magazine before they even open the magazine, Not only does it give you goosebumps, but you realize that if you're able to do that, you can't just be this body and flesh that you are, that we must be something more than that. And I want to open to people up that we are, and, you know, we don't die, and your loved ones haven't. And if I can see something on your dining room table, there's a real possibility that there's much more to life than meets the eye. But basically, I had taken a course with a physicist named Russell Targ, who mm-hmm. is one of the founding fathers of the laser beam. And he says every human being can do this. And mm-hmm. we had a weekend course, another one of my weekend getaways. And one of the things that he had taught us is we each had a partner, and we each had to hide something in a paper bag.
Mm-hmm.
And the homework, well, it's not really homework, but sitting there, mm-hmm. what we have to do, and it's similar to Doreen Virtue's course in mediumship, is to quiet our mind, which is the first step in just about everything I'm learning, and then have the intention, if I could see what was in the bag, what kind of elements would it have? And now, it's hard for the brain to know what the item is, but what kind of interesting attributes does it have? Does it have a color? Does it have weight? Does it have shape? And the first time I had done this, you know, all I'm looking at is a paper bag. And in my mind, I saw a ring, a silver ring, and I saw a blue, red, and green gemstone. I saw a clothespin. And my, in your partner's training, trained to say, well, what is it about the clothespin? And open, close, it's something that opens and closes. And I saw something silver that was about like a rectangle. And he says, well, can you draw on a piece of paper about the shape? And mm-hmm. and then I saw a strawberry. He says, well, what is it about the strawberry? And I said, I don't know, something about its texture. It has bumps. Well, he, you know, 15 minutes later, he opens mm-hmm. his bag, and it's his cellular flip phone. And it's almost exactly the size of the little rectangle that I did.
Right. Yeah.
It was silver. Now, this goes back into 2006 or so, but it had a silver ring in the middle of it, and there were three. There was the talk button that was green, the menu button that was blue, and the stop button that was red. So there were the three colors on the silver ring. And touching it, it had little bumps. All the numbers were raised, so it felt like strawberry.
Sure.
And so it was mind-blowing. It was great. And everybody could just. And so how I teach people inside the pages of We Don't Die is mm-hmm. if you have a partner and they can hide something, great.
Yeah.
But if not, if you get a magazine that you've never opened before and you just have the – you have to quiet your mind because your mind's going to want to fight you. This isn't happening. This isn't real. No, tell me I have ESP. Yeah, thank you for sharing, but I'm not going to listen to you that right now. But if I could see, what kind of images would come to mind? And even with a magazine, your mind is going to start throwing pictures up inside of your head, and have a notebook and just start writing down everything that comes up, everything. And so not everything will be in the magazine,
but
when you start turning the pages, I would say well over half, so well over three quarters of the things are in there. And they could be things like a ladybug, the Statue of Liberty, stuff. It's in there.
Fascinating, fascinating. And you must promise me that you will come back on the show. I want to talk with you more about the tips for dealing with grief after the death of a loved one.
Yes.
And I love one of the things you write about, be gentle on yourself and others. Sandra Champlain, thank you for coming on the show, and I look forward to having you back many times in the future.
January, thank you so much.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. Isn't she amazing? You know, my upcoming guests will all amaze, amuse, and astonish you just like Sandra did today. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you become successful. I'd love to welcome you to our No Whining World. When you can, sign up on my website, januaryjones.com, with your name and email, and you can download free the first two chapters of my latest book. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, If you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest and chocolate expert, Sandra Champlain. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
So that's it. Kelly's in charge.
This is great. I know. When we're shopping, we're at Walgreens. And
is that like mine used to be? Huh? Is that what my money used to look like?
Yeah. Yeah. So I see it.
Yeah,
so I see it.
And I know it's at the store. I said, hey, this is Sunny Bia.
And so I'm going to buy it for Kelly. And put it on the bed when Kelly comes to eat.
Oh, that was cute.
Well, I said, it's not for you, it's for Kelly. So I put it in the car. And she goes in the bath and takes the bath. Opens the bag up and
looking at it,
it's pretty funny.
Everyone needs
that's amazing sound like that actually.
Yeah. And then she
yours
was bigger. Yours was bigger. But she carries it in the house from the car and then she plays with it and she brings it to bed with her. But he's not going to take that.
I believe there's another one of those.
Okay.
So we're going to, first we go with whatever chair you want, right? And then we're going to see to fit in that. And if we got room, we'll go for the other one.
I
don't think we'll have room for more than that.
Where are you putting it, in a bedroom or?
Well, you have one extra room, but it's got all its tools in.
Do you remember in the guest bedroom,
mm-hmm.
The they're really the little coffee cans.
Yeah.
That's what we're using the nightstand.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking, well, those would be great nightstands.
If they fit.
If it, well, one of them will fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two may not.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So
well, the other one for the TV.
And the other one we'll use for the TV.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's neat about these is you can charge stuff on them.
Yeah. That's what I like about them. It's like,
yeah.
That's always handy now that everything is
let, yeah.
It needs that charge.
Yeah. Well, then this is nice because these chairs have charges,
too. This one
too.
Is a couple of hours.
I don't even know. We don't even need to do that.
Your van, are you going to put the chair together here, or are you going to just take the boxes? Boxes, yeah.
It's not much more than it.
Uh-huh.
Is Laurie meeting us here? Or?
At the club. Yeah.
No Colton?
He's up in Georgia. At his.
Well, then Mari can go through the egg, take what she wants, take Colton back. any of the eggs and chocolate we have in the basket while he's gone.
Well, then. Oh, but you don't think you need that oak thing? Look.
You have it on?
Yeah, she's on. Yeah, and it's still stopping. She says, okay, so that's the game we're playing. Yeah, okay. That's the game I'm playing. Yeah, I see it. Most of the time, I just have to show it
like
to her.
Like once a day, give her a reminder.
It's here. Yeah. You see someone walking by? Yeah. This is a free world out there. They can walk wherever they want. No, this won't affect them. Yeah. It definitely gets her attention. Now, which one is he? Is he Dimitrov or?
That's Zverev.
Zverev. Okay. Oh, that's neat with the tennis balls on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Within the
U.S.
Open.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Oh, wow. So whatever he did to it,
yeah, so he did rehab. Yeah. Wow. What's he got in his mouth? The chain?
As H pointed out, that cabinet's like those.
Oh, I didn't know that. So that solves that problem. That solves that problem getting it out in the driveway. And the other thing is you need to empty up the top drawer. There's a bunch of stuff in the top drawer. But there's a plastic box there you can put it in. But most of it, if you don't want it, just throw it out. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to put some more stuff out there. But Daddy says it's going to rain next Saturday. But then if it rains on Saturday, then they have it on Sunday. And then if it rains on Sunday, you wait another week to have it. But I walked out. I took over. She and I walk over on that street, and several of the houses have stuff in their driveways with, you know, tarps on it, waiting to do it. Yeah, it's a neat idea.
Yeah.
You know, because And sometimes people just, neighbors combine, you know, like on a street, they all get their stuff together. So it's kind of fun. Well, just push that one over. Could you unplug it and push it over? My ship? Huh? Thanks, Nathan. I think it's very easy to push. Yeah, there you go. It's not on wheels, but Dad put the sliders on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if you had a big group, you just have...
Just we have
in our house. We
very
stuffy stuff. Yeah.
You can put the circle in his
blade. Yeah. It's not that heavy, I don't think. There you go. Now H has a chair. Perfect. You can have 5 people with chairs and 2 people can sit on the stool. So you can actually have 7 people. Thank you, H. Then this way you two can decide which chair you want to sit. Yeah, if you need to vibrate or do anything, there's a plug behind you. And also there's a plug on that wall too. And what we're looking into is we can buy the batteries so then you don't have to have any plug. I just haven't bought batteries because I wasn't sure if it's really good to use it. Because I think that's your time.
I think we got a woodpecker out there on that tree. What's the use of living? I can't even bark.
This is something very delicate. You know, like if someone came to the front door, she might bark once.
Yeah.
But
she barked at the cow.
Yeah. But then the best bark she ever did was when Daddy fell out on the ice that time. During the winter, and he was on the deck, and I didn't know it. And she saw him through the window, and she came out of the kitchen, and she barked once. I went, okay, nothing. And then she came back. And so I said, that's why I said she stayed there for a while. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to stay for dinner today? Or?
You bet.
Hey.
I don't think so. The Easter Bunny's already in bed here.
Okay.
They had at the waterfront where we had lunch, they had a thing going on. And the bunny they had, it looked very sad.
It was the saddest bunny.
It was the saddest bunny I've ever seen. It was more scary than, bunny. You know, it was kind of a scary bunny.
Well, we had some beautiful bunnies at Shepherd Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Remember? And
the smiles.
Yeah, they were really cute bunnies. And remember that year when Johnny found the golden egg?
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, this point that was 32 hits him from the guy in the black shirt.
We could take the kids to the egg place for breakfast tomorrow. And the dogs can have breakfast.
Yeah.
Hey, it's over by Walmart. You can eat outside, and they have a dog menu.
Puppy's got to eat too.
Ginger had scrambled eggs one day that she didn't like.
She didn't know what they were. She didn't know. But then the next time we took her, we ordered bacon and toast. And that's
we always like bacon.
She ate it all up. That's a beautiful stadium, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just think that name, Jenner, is a name.
You think what's a bad name?
His name is Jenner. S-I-N-N-E-R.
I think in his country, Jenner means guy who likes to have fun.
Oh. Maybe. Where are you going? You think?
Well, I'm going to wear a long thick shirt and long pants.
That's good. Because your body looks like someone's been beating the shit out of you. You probably think.
And it feels like that, too.
They probably think your wife is at home abusing you.